Our passages from Sacred Scripture this morning, the Gospel in particular, remind us that life on earth is but a short wait for either the Lord's return or our return to Him. The letter to the Hebrews in the first reading says that the faith which guides us is precisely the assurance of things hoped for, not just some mere wishful thinking that there's something beyond this world, but that there's a certainty, the certainty that all Christ says, all Christ promises are true. So when this world finishes, either when the world ends or our own lives end, it's not simply curtains close, lights out, show over, and this is it. There's life that goes beyond this world. That life is God Himself. We come from God, we return to God. In between, we're meant to reflect the very image of God in which our souls have been made. To be sons and daughters of God means to live like God. How do we do that? By listening to Christ, by watching Christ. Everything we see in the Gospels in His life, everything He says, everything He promises is true. If that is the case, then we have that certainty that there is life that goes beyond this one, that we transcend just this mere earthly existence. Thus, we behave accordingly, according to what we believe. We behave and think and act according to what we've been told and what we've been made for and promised. Through faith, we have the certainty of two fundamental truths of human existence. Number one, that we are made by God for heaven. We are made for heaven. And number two, that what God wants us to do is to come to the supreme end of heaven and does everything possible with every grace to help us reach that supernatural end. And it's true. Made by God, made for eternal life. By ourselves, we can do nothing, and God gives us every grace and supernatural means possible to enter into His kingdom. And that's good. So we look at the end of all things, and all things end with God. But what about the present time? We can look around at the present state of society in the world today, and this can fill us with worry, anxiety, and depression. It's very easy for us to lose hope, and many people, including believers, have done so. But in that temptation to despair, brothers and sisters, you and I have to remind ourselves of the words of Jesus, "Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." We can look at the world and realize that Christ has overcome every human weakness, every human sin has been conquered by His grace, and we conquer with Christ. And this is true not only of the fallen world that we see around us, but also of the fallen brokenness that we find deep within ourselves. We can never forget that God made us for Himself and that He offers Himself to us. He offers His love, He offers His mercy, He offers us His peace, His strength to refashion us, to bring us out of that brokenness and to be molded day by day and more into His image. All that we do, all that we have, all that we are, we bring us together and put this under His dominion. We subordinate everything to that supreme end, to be united with God, to have union with God here, to have union with God in eternity. Therefore, nothing should ever distract us, nothing ever disturb us on this road to salvation, since we know that God is all-powerful and that God has perfect love for you and that God is faithful to His promises. Always keep that in mind, that God is all-powerful, that God has perfect love for you, and that God is faithful to His promises. Always bear in mind that He, the God of mercies, fills us with confidence, and alongside Him, we never are, never should ever feel useless, abandoned, or alone, ever. He's always with us, always near us. He works in us, He works through us, He works with us, making His presence known. God makes His presence known through us by our prayer, by our self-sacrifice, and, of course, our loving acts of generosity and kindness. As you and I open up ourselves to God's mercy in this great plan of salvation, God then works through us to bring a little bit of heaven here on earth and bring earth to heaven. And He does this through us. We are the bridges by which this happens. That God's loving goodness, His wisdom, His power are all there, always, the firm basis of our hope, and brings about his own presence in us who believe in him. Something that we often tend to forget, or maybe I think we have a hard time accepting, is that God loves each and every one of us individually. Consider that. And think of that for a second, that God loves me individually as if no one else existed. That's how much God loves you, and perfectly. As though no one else exists. He always searches for us, calling out for us to return to him every time that we wander away from sin and lose our way to him. He blesses us with every spiritual gift that we need to grow in perfect faith, in perfect hope, in perfect love. He provides us with the material goods necessary to reach that end. God is the cause of all that is good. And we know he allows us to suffer from time to time in order to purify us and to allow us to unite our sufferings with the sufferings of Jesus for the salvation of souls, including our own. But even in that, God never fails us. God never fails us. God does not get tired of us. His patience is infinite. Why? Because his love is infinite. To him, no one is a hopeless case. No one is a lost cause. He is constantly awaiting our return to him. And we must never think of ourselves so badly as to think that God wants nothing to do with us. Nothing's further from the truth. Or that he's watching and waiting for any reason whatsoever to condemn us to hell. There was a great sermon back in the 18th century in early America from a great preacher that called us sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's not true. Yes, we are sinners, but God wants to forgive those sins and he wants to restore us to grace. All we have to do is ask for it and set our hearts and minds on changing for the better. He wants us to talk to him. He wants us to listen to him. He wants us to ask for his help. He wants us to live the way that he created for us to live, which is to live in honesty, in purity, in charity, justice, and righteousness. In a word, holiness. To be holy as God is holy. Why is that? The heavens are his and belongs to him. But God gave us the earth. He gave us the earth to live in. And here on earth, you and I live and move and have our being. This world is a gift that he wishes to share with us and wants us to share with one another. We are to use this world's resources responsibly. We are to cooperate with one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, to go about doing good as Jesus did, and to encourage one another to do the very same thing. That's what Jesus did. And here, we, the human population made in God's image, are called to build a civilization of love, of peace, of holiness and justice, a civilization where God is worshipped and obeyed and human beings are loved and served. We have a free will. Not everyone thinks or acts or lives as God intends. We know that, and Jesus knows that. It was the same thing in his own time whenever he walked the earth. But we can never let human flaws, never let human weaknesses or even human stupidity and sin overwhelm or discourage us. Again, Jesus says, "Take courage, I have conquered the world." Whenever we hear those words in the gospel, "Gird your loins and light your lamps," it's another way of Jesus telling us, pull yourself together and never lose hope. Inflame your heart with love. We can't be lazy or dull, but simply do our duty, keep watch, and keep the focus on Christ in everything that we do. Doing all things out of love for the Lord and one another, to honor and please him, not doing things for the esteem or the pleasure of human beings only. May you and I be found to be those happy servants who have confidence in him, who has confidence in us, and await the Master's return with joy. Jesus reminds us, "Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. And blessed too are the clean of heart, for God shall be seen in them."